We'll begin on the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis. And the Gemara was wondering why we needed in the Brayse Halacha Kebeis Hillel Pshita Danafka Baskol. We already have a Baskol that gave the announcement and proclaimed that we always paskin like Beis Hillel, and that's a general rule. And this is brought down in Masechta Erevin on Daf Yud Gimel. Why is it then that this Braisa felt compelled to paskin beferish like Beis Shammai, like Beis Hillel, in this discussion about the sequence of Kiddush, whether Bar Pri Agafen comes before the Kiddush or reverse? So the Gemara offers two answers. Iboy Seima Kodim Baskol, Viboy Seima Liachar Baskol, Rabbi Yeshua hi. So let's just take a moment to study the two terutz. And the first terutz assumes that we have to interpret this braisa as being referring to before there was a baskol, because Enochinami, after the baskol, we would have to assume that the halacha is always like Beis Hillel. There would be no need to paskin like Beis Hillel. Whereas the second teretz says that even after the baskol, we have a principle, which we'll see here on the top of Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, that ein mashkichin bebaskol. So the Rishonim are very perplexed here by the first answer, which assumes that after the baskol we would say that in general halacha is kibes hillel, and we don't need to paskin like Beis Hillel. We don't need halacha kibes hillel. But what about ein mashkicha bebaskol? That seems to be such a fundamental principle that was accepted by all the chachmei Talmud. In fact, in a number of places, the Gemara calls Rabbi Eliezer a shamuti, means he's a menuda, because they rejected him completely, even though the baskol came out to support him. So if you look in Tosus, the Ramaskol of a Rebbe on the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph, and you'll find this also in Tosus in Erev and Daf Vav Amud Beis, it depends what the case is. And we have no absolute rule that ain mashkichim bebaskol. In the case of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua there, in the Machlokis and Bab Metzia Nun Tes Amud Beis, there it's Ein Mashkichim Bebaskol, because it was Rabbi Eliezer who initiated this Baskol. He was the one who said that the halacha is like me, and I'll prove it to you with a Baskol. However, as a general rule, if the Baskol comes out on its own, like for example in the Machlokis Shin Beit Shammai Beis Hillel, and according to the first answer of the Gemara, we would rely on a baskol. Tosus further answers that it depends where the rov is. If the rov is against Rabbi Eliezer, then we say ein mashkichim bebaskol. But if the rov supports Beis Hillel, then we would say let's rely on a baskol. The Gemara asks, V'savri Beit Shammai de Birkas Hayom Adifa, is it really so that according to Beis Shammai, Kiddush comes before the Brach of Bar Pri Agafa Sanya, we have a Braisa, and this is a Tosefta in the fifth Perek. The Gemara later is going to prove that this Tosefta is authored by Beit Shammai. Hanichnas Lebeis Obemotzoi Shabbos, and he has a chiyuv of Havdalah. This is the following Seder HaBrachos for Havdalah. Mevarach al Yayin, he opens with the brach on Yayin, Bar Pri Agafen, V'yala Ma'or, and then he goes to the brach on the Ner, Bar Ma'or Ha'esh, which according to Beit Shammai is Ma'or in the singular, and then V'yala B'Samim, Bar Miri B'Samim, V'yachakach Omer Havdalah. So we see clearly that Havdalah comes after Yayin. And the Braisa continues and tells us that im ein lo ela kos echad, if he only has one kos of Yayin, and now he has Birkas Hamazon and Havdalah, so what should he do is, even though Birkas Hamazon also needs a kos shel Yayin, meinicho liachar Hamazon, he should leave the kos till after Birkas Hamazon, Umishalshalon Kulon Liachrov. And then on that very same kus, he will organize all the brachas of Havdalah following Birkas Hamazon. He'll drink the kus. And so he was able to be mekayim two mitzvahs with one kus, both Birkas Hamazon and Havdalah. And this is not a problem of chavilos, probably because in the case of Havdalah, the kus is not related to a seuda per se, as it is in Birkas Hamazon. In any event, we have, according to Beit Shammai, if he's the author of this brisa, a clear-cut statement that Birkas Hayayin comes before the Brach of Havdalah. And if that be the case, what do we do with Beit Shammai and our Mishnah, who are quoted as saying that the bracha on Kiddush comes before the bracha on Yayin? It would seem that Beit Shammai should be consistent. If in the case of Havdalah he has the Bari Pri HaGofen first, then in the case of Kiddush he should have Bari Pri HaGofen first. And if on the other hand in the case of Kiddush the Mishnah reports that he makes the bracha first on the Yom, then he should make the Havdalah first and then Bari Pri HaGofen. And the assumption here is those two dinim of Kiddush and Havdalah should be identical. Now first the Gemara wants to strengthen the kasha, and it says, "Vaha, this brisa mi mai de Beit Shammai, he dilma beisilhi." You're right that the brisa says that the bracha bar pri agafa comes before the Havdalah, but maybe this brisa was authored by Beis Hillel. Lo salkedaitach, it's impossible. Why? Tikatani, in the Seder Habrachos, the brisa says that ma'ar, which is ner, comes before the achkach besamim. Uman shamet le de islei haisvara. Who is the man, the Omer, who holds that the ner comes before Birkas Besomim Beit Shammai? That's Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai wants to make the brach on the ner immediately, without delay. Once you bring out the ner, you're nene from the ner. You could always, you know, delay your hanof from Besomim, but the hanof from ner is immediate, so make the brach as soon as you can. And we'll see this in a brisa. The Sanya, Omer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who reports an insight into the machlokes between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai in the case of a person who needs to be mevarech Birkas Hamazon and make Havdalah on the same kus. He only has one kus. Lo nechaku Beit Shammai Beis Hillel al Hamazon shebetchila v'al Havdalah shehi basov. Both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that the bracha of Birkas Hamazon is the bracha betchila, and that has to be made first, because again he starts with the chiyuv of Birkas Hamazon, he recites it on the kos, and only later he will mekayim the mitzvah of Havdalah. Not only that, he wants to keep Shabbos going and delay Yetzias HaShabbos as much as he could, so that's not an issue. Alman nechleku, what is the machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, says Rabbi Yehuda, al hamar v'al habesamim? What is the sequence of the bracha of the Eish and the bracha on the Besamim? Beit Shammai Omrim Ma'ar V'achkach Besamim. As we said before, the bracha on the Eish is on the Ner is urgent. He's already being nene from the light. He should make a bracha immediately. U'Beisil Omrim Ala Besamim V'achkach Amar. You know, there's some sort of an urgency for the Besamim. You know, his neshama Yisera has left him. He's got to pump up the neshama and console it for its loss, and that's going to be Besamim. And then he'll make the bracha ner later. But once Rabbi Yehuda has said that according to Beit Shammai, ner comes before Besamim, then we know for sure that the brisa that we just learned, which says Hanichas lebeiso b'motzoi Shabbos mevarech al yain v'al ma'or v'al besamim, that ner comes before besamim, that is the shita of Beit Shammai, because according to Beis Hillel he would be marked in besamim before Eish, before the bracha on the mar. And the Gemara now goes on and says the following. Let's ask the following question. How do we know that de Beit Shammai hi v'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda? How do we know that this price is authored by Beit Shammai, based on the interpretation of Beit Shammai, as it was presented by Rabbi Yehuda Dilma, Beis Hillelhi, Valiba, the Rabbi Meir? In other words, Rabbi Yehuda argues on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir. In our Mishnah, it says that both Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that the bracha of Ner comes before the bracha of Besamim. That's Rabbi Meir's tradition of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. They all agree that Ner is urgent. You have to make the bracha first, then you can leave the Besamim for later. It comes out, therefore, according to Rabbi Meir's tradition of the machlokas, when we get to the brisa that we're talking about, and Ner comes before Besamim, it's very possible to say that that reflects the Shita Basil as well. Because according to Rabbi Meir's tradition, there was never a machlokas. Basil never argued that Ner comes before Besamim. So when the brisa says, HaNichnas LeBeisel Motzoi Shabbos, even Beis Hillel would agree that that would be the Seder, that Ner would come before Besamim. So if that be the case, then this brisa, which may reflect the understanding of the machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai according to Rabbi Meir, could work out according to Beis Hillel, and then we don't have a problem with the fact that the Birchas Hayayin comes before the Avdolah, because that indeed is Beis Hillel. But maybe Beit Shammai would say the opposite, as we saw in that Mishnah, that first you make the Bracha on Kiddush, and then Baruch Pri HaGofen, and the same should apply in the case of Avdolah. Lo Saka Daitach. It's impossible to say that this Brisa would reflect the Shita of Beis Hillel the way Rabbi Meir understood it. The Kantani Hocha B'mas Nisan, it says here in our Mishnah, Beit Shammai Omrim Ner Umazon B'samim VeHavdolah. So the Seder HaBrochos is that first we make the Brocha on the Eish, and then we're going to make the Brocha of Birkas HaMazon. And then only afterwards we're going to make the Brocha on Besamim and the main Brocha of Havdalah. And it's very interesting that according to Beit Shammai, the Brocha on Mazon is wedged in to the very fabric of the Seder Havdalah. You know, we would have thought that Mazon should come first, but guess what? Even Beis Hillel has Mazon integrated into the Seder of Havdalah. Not in the same way that Beis Hillel has it, that Beit Shammai has it, but Beis Hillel Omrim, Ner, not only do we start with Ner, but then we go on to Besamim, and that was the tradition of Rav Meir, that both Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that Ner comes before Besamim. However, Beis Hillel say that Mazon should be pushed off till after the Besamim, not like Beis Hillel, Beit Shammai, who would wedge Birkas HaMazon between Ner and Besamim. No, according to Beis Hillel, we have Ner and Besamim straight away, contiguous, without any hefsek in between them, and we don't have room for Mazon. So let's pass by, says Beis Hillel, Ner and Besamim. Once we have that on the board, then we could go ahead and recite Birkas HaMazon, and finally Havdalah. However, let's take a look at our brisa that we've been studying. Ketani, the brisa says him Ein lo ela kos echad meinicho liachra mazon umeshalshlo kulam lachorav, which means we start straight away with Birkas HaMazon, which, as we said before, is intuitively correct. Let's start with Birkas HaMazon. That's what the kos is there for. And then, in order to guarantee that you have Havdalah al kos, we'll recite Havdalah with all its brachos on this kos. But that has to come after the Borei Pri HaGofen. And that certainly is against the Shita of Beis Hillel, the way that Rabbi Meir understood it. Shma mina de Beit Shammai valiba de Rabbi Yehuda. It must be that this brisa reflects the Shita of Beit Shammai, the way Rabbi Yehuda understood it. And let's read again the brisa of Rabbi Yehuda and the way he transmitted the machlokes Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. Lo nechliku Beit Shammai Beis Hillel al hamazon sheyesh Shabbatchila, meaning Yesh Levarcha Batchila. Everybody agrees that we begin the Seder of let's call it Birkas Mazon / Havdalah with Birkas HaMazon. That's against the Mishnah, the way Rabbi Meir presents it in our Mishnah, the Machlokes based on Beit Shammai, according to which everybody agrees that the Birkas HaMazon is going to be postponed. It's going to be wedged into and after the beginning of Havdalah, whether it's base Shammai who has it immediately after Ner, or Beis Hillel who pushes it off till after Ner and Besamim. But clearly, according to Rabbi Meir's tradition, and that's what's reflected in our Mishnah, Mazon, the Birkas HaMazon, is not going to be your first. It's not going to be your first bracha. You have to start with Ner, and you have to start, according to Beis Hillel, with Ner plus Besamim. According to Beit Shammai, right after Ner, you go on to Birkas HaMazon. According to Beis Hillel, you have to wait till after the Besamim to go on to Birkas HaMazon. Whereas the Braisa that we're studying says that im ein lo kos ela echad me nichol yachar HaMazon, which means that we take the kos and in order to fulfill Havdalah on this kos, we have to wait till after we recite Birkas HaMazon. So there's no question that this Braisa is going to be the tradition of Beit Shammai according to Rabbi Yehuda's transmission of this Machlokas. And if that be the case, then we have a question: why is it that that this Braisa, which reflects Beit Shammai, and that we saw from the fact that he's got the bracha of Eish before the bracha of Besamim, which is against Beis Hillel, who has Besamim first and then Eish, and yet, despite it all, he's got the Havdalah after Bari Pri HaGafen. So the Gemara says, Umikomakom Kasha. So back to the original question. Now that we've clarified and established for sure that the Braisa reflects the Shita Beit Shammai, then we're in trouble here, because the Braisa says that according to Beit Shammai, we start with the Bracha of Yayin before the Bracha of Avdolah, and the same logic should apply in a parallel way to the case of Kiddush. And Beit Shammai say that the Bracha of Kiddush comes before the Bari Pri HaGafen. In Avdolah, the Braisa says, and we're assuming now the Braisa is Beit Shammai, that the Bracha of Bari Pri HaGafen comes before the Avdolah. So the Gemara answers, Kasavri Beit Shammai Shaini Iyule Yoma Mifuki Yoma. We've been assuming our premise underlying this stira, the so-called stira, was that there's an equation between Havdol and Kiddush. The Gemara now is Mechadish. There's a fundamental difference between the two. In the case of Havdolah, when we're talking about Afuki Yoma. Afuki Yoma means the Yitzia of Min HaShabbos. We're terminating the Shabbos. The case of Kiddush is called Iyule Yoma, which means we're entering into the Shabbos. Kama demak deminale adif. If you're talking about Iyule Yoma, then there's a rush to recite Kiddush, to accept the Shabbos as soon as possible. This is demonstrated by reciting the Kiddush with the Bracha Mekadesh HaShabbos before Bari Pri HaGafen. That's Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai has an agenda here. It's almost a pedagogic agenda. He's using Kiddush as a method of inspiring us to understand that when it comes to taking in the Shabbos, we want to start as soon as we can. Let's not delay. But Afuki Yoma, it's just the reverse. When we're leaving the Shabbos, Kama Demacharina Le Adif, we want to hold on to the Shabbos, and we're going to be Ma'acher the bracha of Avdolah. Ki hechi delo lehevi alon kemasa. It shouldn't look that like Shabbos is a burden. So that if we eagerly enter into the Shabbos by beginning with Kiddush, and we sort of disparagingly leave the Shabbos behind us, very sadly, by postponing Havdalah and beginning with Bari Pri HaGafen, even though again it's a hair's breadth of a difference in time, but I think the important point here is the symbol. And we had a number of reasons back on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis as to why Beit Shammai are pushing the agenda that we should begin with Kiddush before HaGafen. But one of those reasons is because we want to begin our Shabbos as soon as we can. But certainly in the case of Havdalah, we want to postpone the Havdalah as much as we can, and therefore we're going to recite the Bari Pri HaGafen first and the Havdalah second. It's So in the case of Kiddush, Beit Shammai has the Kiddush Hayom first and then the Yayin, and he gives two explanations for that. Number one, Yayin Gorim Liyayin, Hayom Gorim Liyayin Shiyom. Number two, Kvar Kiddush Hayom Vadayin Yayin Lo Ba. But nevertheless, in the case of Avdolah, we're going to reverse the order because of this principle called Afuke Yoma Kamadami Achrinon Odif, that we want to postpone the Yetzias HaShabbos, and therefore we'll be makdim the Bracha of Yayin. I don't think there's a stereo, because the two explanations of Beit Shammai for Kiddush, in which Kiddush comes before Yayin, don't apply here to Avdolah. So in the case of Avdolah, it's kind of a toss-up, and Beit Shammai come along with this svara to say that Adarabba, the Havdalah should come, the Kiddush, the Birkas HaMazon should come first in the case of Havdalah, and the Havdalah second. Now the Gemara is going to ask another stira in Beit Shammai with regard to Birkas HaMazon, and that's the question whether Birkas HaMazon requires a kuss. Because in this brice that we've been studying of HaNichnas LeBeiso B'Motzoi Shabbos, and he only has one kuss, he needs to use that kuss for Birkas HaMazon, and then he'll be Mishalshal, he'll organize the Havdalah on the same kuss. But it's clearly the underlying premise of this brisa, which is authored by Beit Shammai, that you need a kuss for Birkas HaMazon. So the Gemara asks, "Sari Beit Shammai, Birkas HaMazon tu nekos v'atnan." We have a Mishnah, our Mishnah, that in the case that people are eating a Suda of Pas, Ubolehem Yayin Liachar HaMazon, and now, after they finish the Suda, they haven't yet benched, and they got Yayin to drink, and that was apparently the custom in those days. Im Ein Sham Ela Oso Kos, if he only has one kos of Yayin, Beit Shammai hold, Mevarach Al Yayin, he could go ahead without any inhibition and drink the wine. Bori Pri HaGavon, drink the wine. And then he is going to recite his Birkas HaMazon, which will be Birkas HaMazon without a kuss. Is my love, isn't it understood that Mevarchi Luye Vishasile, he makes the Bracha Bar Priya Gofen, he drinks the wine and then he benches, so he doesn't have a kuss for Birkas HaMazon. And the reason is because, according to Shita Es Beit Shammai, Birkas HaMazon doesn't need kuss. But yet, our Bryce, in the case of Motzi Shabbos, and he only has one kuss, guarantees it that he has to engineer and orchestrate it such that he can recite the Birkas HaMazon on that kuss, and then go on and use that kuss for Birkas Havdalah. So Gemara says, lo, you misinterpreted Beit Shammai. When Beit Shammai says that, quote, Mevarech v'shose, I'm sorry, Mevarech al yayin v'achkach Mevarech al hamazon, they didn't mean to say that Mevarech al yayin and then he drinks the wine, so he's left without wine for Birkas HaMazon, but rather the Mevarech iluye umanachle, he recites the bracha of Borei Pri HaGofen, and he doesn't drink the kuss. He waits till after Birkas HaMazon, and then he drinks the kuss. And again, it's a kind of different kind of mishalshil, not the same as the case of Havdalah and Birkas HaMazon, but a case in which he can recite the Borei Pri HaGofen and postpone his shtia, such that now he can still use the kuss for Birkas HaMazon. And again, you're going to have to assume that the Birkas HaMazon, according to this sheet, is not a hefsek between his Borei Pri HaGofen and the drinking of the kuss. So the Gemara says, V'amar Mar, we have a statement of the Chachamim in Psachim Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis, HaMavarech Tzarch Sheyitom, when you make a bracha, any Birkas HaNenim, then immediately after that bracha, you have to enjoy, you have to be toim, you have to take a taste. If you don't take a taste, then it's a bracha levatola. So the Gemara answers, the toimle, enochinami, he'll take a little bit of the yayin immediately after the bracha of Birkas Bari Priyag Gofen, but the bulk of the wine in the cup will be left till after Birkas HaMazon, such that he was Mekayim the Birkas HaNenim with a Te'ima Kol Shehu, some sort of very limited amount of Te'ima, such that he still has a full kos for Birkas HaMazon. And the Rashba points out that the original Tartzan that we had just before, who said Mevarech Alei Umanach Lei, his intention was to say that he should be Toim Mimenu Ma'at, Minicho, whatever's left in the kos he leaves for Birkas HaMazon, but the Makshin didn't understand what he meant, and he thought that he wasn't drinking at all, and he asked him, how could that be? But for sure he has to be Toim because of the principle of Birkas HaNen, which requires Te'ima. Now the Gemara asks the following kasha: how can you tell me that Birkas HaMazon needs a kos, and therefore he's toim min hayayin before his Birkas HaMazon va'amar mar ta'amo pegamo? So we have aloch and koshal bracha of pegima, of a kos pogum. And one of the different ways in which you make a kos into a kos pogum is by tasting something from the kos. So once a person is toim in a kos, it becomes a kos pogum, doesn't have the chashivus, and it's disqualified, that wine and that kos, to be used for a koshel bracha. So Gemara answers, de toim le biyode. He pours a little bit of the wine from the kos into his hand, into his finger, and he drinks the wine from his finger in such a way that he wasn't pogim the kos. And all this is so that the Birkas HaNenim of Bar Priyag Gofen would not be a brachal batola, but it would be followed by Te'ima, but a Te'ima without being pogim for the kos. So Gemara says, is that possible? And he's going to be toim the wine from the kos. So Amar Mar Koshal Bracha Tzorach Shiur. A kos of yayin needs a revius of a lug, a revius yayin. V'haka pochus le mishiura. The very fact that he pours out some of the wine onto his finger in this case means that the yayin that's left in the kos is less than a revius. And if that be the case, how could he be mekayim the mitzvah of koshal bracha on the Birkas HaMazon when he doesn't have a revius? The nafish le tfei mishiura. I don't know why the Gemara needed the shakel v'tari. It seems so poshut. We're talking about a situation where he has a revius plus, and whatever that surplus is above revius, that's what he is towing from, but he's still left with a full kos of a sheer revius for the kos shel bracha Birkas HaMazon. Now the Gemara asks Akasha, verha. Let's read our Mishnah and get the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, im ein sham ela oso kos. Now, with the language of the Mishnah, if we read it carefully, it seems to be quite clear that he has a shear of yayin. He has only one kos for a kos shel bracha, and he's got a revius. And the Gemara answers, no. Trei lo havi umichad nofish. What the Mishnah has in mind is that he has more than a revius, but he doesn't have a shear for two kosos. He doesn't have two revius. So although he has more than a revius, he doesn't have two revius. So when the Tana says that he had oso kos, what the Tana meant to say is that he doesn't have two revius. If he had two revius, then enichinami, everything would be fine. He would drink the wine for up to revius, and he would leave over revius. Again, you have to do it in a way that it's not a kos pogum. He gets himself a second kos. But we're talking about a case where he has a little bit more than a revius, but he doesn't have enough for a second kos. He doesn't have a second revius. So he has enough, so more than revius, the surface, such that even after he's toim from the kos, he still has a sheer revius for Birkas HaMazon. But when the Mishnah says oso akos, it was referring to a case where he has more than a revius, but not two revius. So it comes out now that Beit Shammai hold that Birkas HaMazon tuna kos, and that's what we saw in the Braisa, that if he only has one kos after Shabbos ends, and he needs that kos for Birkas HaMazon, he will organize both Birkas HaMazon and Havdalah on the same kos. And our Mishnah, where it says that Bolehem Yayin Achar Shesimu Sudasam, and he drinks the kos before Birkas HaMazon. No, he doesn't drink the kos before Birkas HaMazon. He leaves the kus till after Birkas HaMazon. What he drinks from the kus is only a te'ima, but not the piv, so there's no pegima, in such a way that he's still left with the balance of a revius in the kus. And now he can mekayim the mitzvah of koshal bracha on Birkas HaMazon mimanafshach. If he has the shear, he certainly has the shear. Is it pogum? It's not pogum. Gemara asks for Tani Rabbi Chia. We have a brisa of Rabbi Chia, and according to the nusach of the brisa of Rabbi Chia, Beit Shammai Omrim Mivorach al Yayin Vishosehu V'acharkach Mivorach Birkas HaMazon. The word Shosehu seems to indicate not Te'ima but Shesia, which means he drinks the entire kos, or maybe it means he drinks a revius of the kos, but certainly he doesn't have enough in the kos to be Mivorach Birkas HaMazon. So again, it seems from Rabbi Chia's version of Beit Shammai that Birkas HaMazon does not require a kos. And they were stuck with the brisa of Motzei Shabbos, where he has to organize the Havdalah on the kos of Birkas HaMazon. He only has one kos in order to fulfill the kos Shel Bracha, Birkas HaMazon. Ella, the Gemara answers, Rabbi Chia and the Tana of Habraisa, Trei Tanoi, Aliva de Beit Shammai. There are two Tanoim, each one has his own version of the Shita of Beit Shammai. Rabbi Chia held that according to Beit Shammai, Birkas HaMazon ena to unakos, and therefore he goes ahead and he drinks the kos, and he doesn't have a kos for Birkas HaMazon, but that's fine. The Tana of Habraisa holds, Nichnas lebeso b'motzoi Shabbos, he has to organize both the Birkas HaMazon and the Havdalah on one kos, because that brisa holds that according to Beit Shammai, Birkas HaMazon to una kos. The Mishnah back on Daf Nun Aleph Amid Beis records that Beit Shammai Omrim Notlim Liyadayim V'Akach Mozgin Es HaKos. The Tils Yadayim comes before Mezigas HaKos. Ubeis Hill Omrim No Mozgin Es HaKos V'Akach Notlim Yadayim. The Gemara now brings a brisa to explain this machlokes. And first, the brisa and the Gemara is going to try to understand Beit Shammai Shita. Now, let's just give a little bit of an introduction here to this brisa. This sugya is not dealing with the dinim of Tuva Vitara on a doraisa level, because min haTorah, there's no tuma on part of the Gufo Shel Adam, on just a fraction of the body. But this sugya that we're about to study now is dealing with Tuma Dirabanan. And you could have Tuma Dirabanan on the Yadayim. And even though it's only a segment of the body, it's not the entire body, the Rabbanan made a harchaka. They didn't want to get into a situation of being mafsid Truma Tahora, and therefore they would gozer Tuma on Yadayim. Now, even today, where we don't have Truma Tahora, we're all Tmeim, but nevertheless, these dinim that we're going to learn still apply even in that time, so that when Emir Sashem, Yibana Beis HaMikdash, will be regilim in these dinim and our chokas to guarantee that we're not mafsid, we're not mitame, and we're not mafsid Truma Tahora. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in Braisa, if a person wants to drink yayin before he eats his pas, Beit Shammai Omrim Notlim Liyadayim, V'achakach Mozgin, then we do the mezig and we drink the kos. And the reason for that is Imata Omer Mozgin Asakos Tchila. If you're going to begin with the kos, and only afterwards you're going to do Netis Yadayim, is Gzera, we have to worry about Shema Yitamu Mashkin Shachore Akos Machmas Yod V'achsiv Yitami Asakos. It could be that the mashkin will be makabel tuma. What does that mean? The mashkin will be makabel tuma. He hasn't yet rinsed his hands, but there are mashkin me'achore akos. In other words, Beit Shammai are worried about the fact that the kos itself is wet. It's moist. It's got liquid and moisture on the outside. Then immediately when he picks up the kos in his hands and he hasn't washed his hands yet, then the mashkin that are on the outside that came in contact with his hands are going to be makabel tuma machmas yadav. And Chazal always assume that stam yadayim are are tmeos. That's called stam yadayim askonios heim in the Gemara in Shabbos daf yudalit omen aleph. So mirtz Hashem, if we get to Shabbos yudalit, we'll learn the sugi of stam yadayim askonios heim, which means that the yadayim come in contact with tuma. So now we have a problem, because Chacham made a takana that mashkim, if they come in contact with his yodayim and he hasn't washed his yodayim, they have a din of what's called a rishon l'tumah. And again, all this is midrabanan, and this is codified in the Mishnah in Masechta Parah that kol posel esatru mitami mashkin lios tchila, which means a rishon l'tumah. So stam yodayim, the rabbanan were misakin that has a din of shnios l'tumah, and they pasel the truma because truma can become a shlishi l'tuma, so the yadayim mitami mashkin b'tumas rishon. And in order to avoid this, we have to, says Beit Shammai, insist that he does an atil yadayim before he grabs onto the kos, because otherwise the mashkim that are on the outside of the kos, when they come in contact with his hands, have a din of a rishon l'tuma, and that's going to be mitami truma. And not only that, keep in mind that the mashkim will also be mitami the kos, and that'll make the kos into a sheni l'tuma. And as we said before, even though on a deraisa level the kli is only mekabel tuma from an ava tuma, not from a rishon l'tuma, mirabonon, the kli is mekabel tuma even from a rishon l'tuma. So once the mashkin on the outside became a rishon l'tuma as a result of his yodayim, now we have to worry about that mashkin as if ki'ilu they were an avat tuma, and they are now going to transfer tuma over to the kos, and the kos becomes a sheni l'tuma. And if that happens, then we have to worry about truma. So we need netilas yadayim before he grabs onto the kos, and the reason for that is, as we said before, he has to be mishtamesh b'meshach kol asud b'kos tomei. That's something that we want to avoid. If he uses this kos tomei for the balance of the suda, that's not acceptable, because then you're postponing, you're protracting the tuma, and it inevitably almost it'll come to be mitame truma. So Beit Shammai say, therefore, you're not allowed to use a kli tomei during the course of the suda, and therefore you have to do netilas yadayim first, because otherwise his yadayim askonios are metame, and they will make the yayin on the outside of the kos into a rishon l'tuma, and therefore the kos itself becomes a sheni l'tuma, which you're not allowed to use according to Beit Shammai during the course of the meal, and therefore we need netilas yadayim before he takes the kos in his hand. The Gemara asks, for the tami yadayim lakos, why does the Braisa assume that the yadayim will be mitami the mashkin, and then the mashkin will be mitami the kos? I mean, why do you have to go around, around your head to scratch your ear? Why don't you just say, forget about the mashkin on the outside of the kos, the yadayim themselves, which are tmeos, will now be mitami the kos when he touches the kos? And the answer is, because yadayim shnios heim. The takana was to elevate the yadayim through the askonios heim to the level of shnios, and we have a rule that ein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. In other words, with the exception of truma, a sheni does not transfer tuma to become a shlishi. So in chulin, there's no ba'ah. But there is one way in which a sheni l'tuma can create a shlishi l'tuma, and that's through mashkim. Ela al yidei mashkin. So if a shnia, a sheni l'tuma, would come in contact with mashkim, and then the mashkim come in contact with chulin, the chulin would become a shlishi l'tuma. And the reason for this is because mashkin become a rishon l'tuma, meaning if you have a contact between a rishon l'tuma and mashkim, as opposed to ochlim, in ochlim the ochlim become a sheni l'tumah, and then we apply the principle of ein sheni osa shlishi, which would mean that the yodayim as shneios l'tumah could not transfer tumah over to the kli, which is called chulin, and make it into a shlishi. But if the yodayim come in contact with mashkim, then halacha is that the mashkim go backwards, so to speak, from sheni l'tumah, they become a rishon l'tumah, and they can be metame chulin to make the chulin into a sheni l'tumah. So therefore, the kli itself, which is chulin, would not be able to be makabel tumah from the yadayim, because the yadayim are shnios, and shnios cannot make a shlishi in chulin. But the exception to the rule is mashkim, and with the contact between the shnios, the yadayim which are shnios, and the mashkim revert back to a more intense tumah, and their status is that of rishon l'tumah, such that they can be metame chulin and make the kos into a sheni l'tumah. Now that's a problem, because as we said before, we don't want to have a kli that has contracted tumah, in this case a sheni l'tumah, on the table during our suda. That's the shita of Beit Shammai. Now the Gemara goes back to the Braisa and analyzes Beis Hillel's shita. Beis Hillel omrim mosgin, and we could drink the kos, and afterwards we do netilas yadayim. And why? She'im ata omer notlun yadayim tchila, if you're going to begin with netilas yadayim and then do the mezigas hakos, gzera, what we're afraid of, is shema yitamu hamashkim shebiyadayim machmas hakos v'yachsu v'yitayim es yadayim. What we're worried about is that the mashkim will be makabel tumah, and then the mashkim will now transfer the tumah over to his yadayim. In other words, what are Beis Hillel basically afraid of? If he doesn't wipe his hands carefully, he doesn't dry them, right? That's called lo nigev yadav yofe yofe. So he has the mei hanetila, and there's still wetness on his hands. That's chashash number one that Beis Hillel are worried about. Now he has another chashash, that the kus might be tamei as a sheni l'tumah. So the second chashash of Beis Hillel, let's just review it, is that the kli on the suda, the kli that he's using on his table during the suda, became tamei through mashkim. And we said that mashkin are able to be metame even if they're a sheni, and be metame chulin, even though normally a sheni cannot make a shlishi. But that's only without mashkin. Once you have mashkin, then they can transmit tumah. And therefore, if the kli is on the table during the course of the suda, and it comes in contact with mashkin, the kli itself becomes tummy through the mashkin, because mashkin can make chulin, even if the mashkin is a sheni, transmit tumah. Now, he's got a kli on the table, which is tummy. And Beis Hillel never made a gzera as far as using kalim on the table, which are tmeim. So you have, according to Beis Hillel, a heter to use during the suda kli that became tamei as a result of mashkin. So you pour mashkin into a kli, and the kli becomes tamei because the mashkin transmitted tumah to the kli. Now, once the kli became tamei, if he grabs onto that kli with wet hands, then once again you have mashkin coming in contact with a kli, and a kli through mashkin could be metame the mashkin. Well, once it's metame the mashkin now are going to be metame the yodayim. I mean, even though you could always argue that, during the course of the suda, one's hands are wet because of different tafshilin that they cook with water. So the minute he grabs onto the kos during his suda, and the kos is tamei, then his yadayim will become tameos because of the kos. So Rashi asks this question, Dibra Baskel Ein, and he says Beisil are not choshish for that because the Mashkin and the Tavshilin don't have a status of Mashkin, they have a status of Ochlin, and an Ochel is not going to be Nitma from a Kos, which is a Shneil Letuma, because a Shneil Letuma cannot transfer to Chulin a status of Shlishi Letuma. But in this case, what happens here is that we're dealing with Mashkin Mamish. We're not dealing with Mashkin that lost the shape Mashkin because they were liquids that were cooked in a Tavshil. We're talking about Mashkin that are on his Yadayim. If he did Natil's Yadayim and he didn't wipe his hands properly, then he's got, right, and again, according to Beit Shammai, he's washing his hands before the shti of the kos. So that means that when he gets to the point of shti of the kos, Beisil is saying, well, the yadayim is still wet. And if the yadayim is still wet and the kos is tameh, that will transmit to him over to his yadayim. And again, this is a problem because we don't want yadayim tmeos during the suda. So therefore, Beisil comes to the conclusion that what he should do is he should first drink the kos, and then he should do Natil's Yadayim after he drank the kos. Fine. So now the Gemara asks the following question: Vinatame kos li Yadayim. Why Beisil afraid of Tuma? And that's because of the Mashkevar is Yadayim. Well, let's forget about that. He should be Choshesh that the Kos itself will be Metame Yadayim, even if the Yadayim are dry. Because as we said, the Kos is Tame, and now it should transmit Tuma to his Yadayim. So why, you know, what does Beisil gain by finishing up with the Mezig and the Shtiyas HaKos before Natil's Yadayim, even during the Suda, when he's going to come to drink whatever he drinks, and the Mashkin or Tmeim, his Yadayim will become Tmeim because of the Kos, even though his Yadayim are dry. So the premise of the Gemara's Kashi here, of Nitame Kos Li Yadayim, is that when he takes a kos into his hand during the course of the suda to drink, and let's assume his hands are dry, there's no reason not to assume so, then since the kos itself is tame, because as we said before, Beisil allows you to use a kos that has a din of a sheni lituma during the course of the suda, then when he grabs onto the kos during the course of the suda in order to drink something, his yadayim should become tmeos even if they're dry. And the Gemara answers, well, what are you worried about? You're worried about the kli that became tame because of mashkin, and it's now a sheni lituma? Because again, if the kli was a rishon lituma, then you're not allowed to be mishtamish in the suda. That's true even according to Beis Hillel, because a rishon lituma would be mitami the yadayim during the course of the suda, and then he's going to be eating with yadayim tmeos. But rather, we're talking about a kli that has a status of a sheni lituma, and therefore ein kli mitami odom. The kli which is a sheni lituma cannot be mitami odom. Right, it cannot transfer the status of a sheni lituma over to the adam. So the kli with negia would lower the darg of tuma. So the key here is to get mashkim, right? It's only al yidei mashkim hamakablim tuma mea kli, because as we said before, the unique status of mashkin is that the mashkin will become a risha lituma, and that's based on a takonis Chachom that we mentioned earlier, that we said El Yidei Mashkin, and then the Yadayim could be Makabel Sheni, a status of Tuma Sheni, if the Yadayim are wet. But if the Yadayim are dry, then since the Kli itself has the status of a Sheni Lituma, it could not transmit that status of Sheni Lituma to the Yadayim. It would only go down one madrega to a shlishi, and we said that a sheni doesn't make a chulin into a shlishi. So the Gemara now asks, "Vinitame lamashkin shebesocho." Now, since according to Beis Hill, you're allowed to use a kus during the suda that has the status of a sheni l'tuma. So once again, what did Beis Hill gain with their takana that they don't want to be mitame the adayim? The mashkim inside the kli will be makabel the tuma from the kli. And whatever he drinks during the suda will become tame. Why? Because the kli itself is a sheni l'tuma, and mashkin becomes a rishon l'tuma with his contact with a sheni l'tuma. So then, anything he drinks inside this kli, which is a sheni l'tuma, now becomes mashkim tmeim. And what we're going to allow him to drink mashkim tmeim during the suda? So the Gemara answers, hacha. When Beis Hill allowed you to use a kos tamei during the suda, the kli shenitmu achorav b'mashkin askinon. In other words, the kli received tuma, contact of tuma, because of mashkim tmeim, which have the status of a rishon l'tuma. Shenagu, these mashkim came in contact b'gabo, gabo meaning the outside of the kli. And in that case, the din is that tocho tar v'gabo tame, whatever inside the kli remains tahar, and only the gav of the kli becomes tame. And therefore, the mashkim inside the kli are not makabel tuma, and therefore, it's only the mashkim that are on his yadayim that will touch the outside of the kli. They will be makabel tuma, because we're talking about a case of a kli shenitma me'achorav, which means that the achorei kli, which is called gabo, is tame, and if his yadayim, which are wet yadayim, because he didn't do a proper negiva, now they come in contact with the gav of the kli, then what's going to happen is, as a result of the mashkin shebi yadayim that touched the defanos, the outside of the kli mibachutz, his yadayim will be makabel tuma. And the reason for that is because the gav of the kli is now tame. It became tame because it was nitma me'achorov. And once the achorei kli is tame, then it will be mitame the adayim. And the Gemara brings a source now based on a Mishnah in Kalim to prove that the din is that a kli that became tame me'achorov, that if it has contact with mashkim me'achorov, it becomes tame me'achorov. Tisnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Kalim, kli shenitmu achorov v'mashkim. In other words, Nagu mashkim tmeim rishonim. If you have mashkim, which is a rishon lituma, and it came in contact with the dofnei akli, then achorav tmeim. Here we're turning to nun beis amid beis, but tocho, the defanos of the kli on the inside of the kli, the ogno or the sfasa kli, which sort of bends in towards the outside, the ozno and the yodaim of the kli, your dime on the parts of the kli that you use to pick up the kli, and yodav is that's called the yodis arucha yisharik yishal machvas tahorim, and all this is because it was nitma me'achorav. So the mashkim came on the outside of the kli, and everything on the inside of the kli, which is called tocho, the defanos and ogno, which is sfasa kli akfufa lechutz, and then the oznov, which is the yadit asuya lachizas akli, and the yadov, which is a longer yadit that's very straight, like in a case of a machvas, like in a frying pan. So in my Gemara, there are a few pictures here. They have diagrams of what we call the tocha kli, the ogno the kli, and the ozna the kli, yadov the kli. Anyway, all that remains tar, because the tumah of the mashkin came on the outside of the kli. But in nitma l'tocho, but if the mashkin came, the mashkin tmeim had in contact with the defanus of the kli on the inside of the kli, then nitma kulu, everything becomes tomei, both mibifnim and mibachut. So here's where we'll stop. for today.